Do you know what time it is? It's supernatural story time. And if you're easily scared, and even if you're not, there's only one thing left to do. Just turn off the lights, because these are stories that you listen to only in the dark. The Uninvited Bedfellow. I've had a lot of strange things happen to me over the years. Usually I hear about things happening in small towns and isolated forest areas. Here in Los Angeles, it's the live ones we worry about. The house I live in is not run down, but I think it's kind of old. I believe it was built in 1956. Sometimes when I'm alone, I can hear footsteps, not the kind you can pass off as the house settling. I hear boots. Anyway, I'd basically stopped living there because I was spending a lot of time with my girlfriend at the time. One night I came home about midnight. I hadn't been home for about a month to sleep there. I had just fallen asleep, but for some reason I opened my eyes. I could see the whole room was a bright blue. The room was glowing, but I could not pinpoint the exact location of the light. It seemed to be coming from everywhere. It was still kind of dark, but I could see every detail in my room. The red LED in my alarm clock was blue. I was still half asleep when something completely woke me up. I could feel someone next to me. It was a female, and I could feel her breathing. I was laying on my side, facing away from her. I could distinctly make out it being a her and feel body warmth, like someone was sleeping next to you for a while. I was making skin-to-skin contact, and I could feel the sweat. At first, I thought it was just my girlfriend, when I started to figure out that I was at my parents' house. I could now make out my brother on the bed across from mine. It was then that I got a really sick feeling. I could feel her warm breath against my back, and that she shifted as if trying to lean closer to me. Then I felt her warm hand on my waist, and that did it. I jumped up on my bed and grabbed my bedpost that is about half as long as a bat and just as thick. When I did that, my brother jumped up and we turned on the light. Nobody was there. I could feel the sweat from someone sleeping against me on my back, and the bed was warm where I had felt her laying. I guess it would be hard to scare two guys who are over 6'4" and have and do play football, but we did not get much sleep after that. I usually know when strange things happen because I always see everything glowing in that blue light. In the past few years, I've had a few deaths of friends and family, and usually the phone call comes late at night. Usually about 3 a.m. or so, but usually I wake up and see the room glowing a minute later, and then the phone rings with the bad news. I went so far as to have the phone removed from my room. As to who that mystery lady was that lay next to me and left a warm spot, I have no idea who that spirit was. Too many ghosts. I seem to have been a magnet for ghosts all my life. I grew up in the Tidewater, Virginia area, and my mother and I would make trips to Gettysburg, Colonial Williamsburg, etc. now and then. One of the first ones that I can remember happened in a very old hotel, one that had been around since the Civil War. My mother and I were sleeping in one of the rooms when we were awakened by voices and footsteps. It sounded as if someone was planning some sort of strategy for battle. I saw what appeared to be men in very old-fashioned clothes gathered around a table or desk. My mother didn't see anything, but she heard the voices. When she asked in the morning, she found that the hotel we stayed in had been used by Civil War officers for a time. Unfortunately, I don't remember exactly where it was, as I was maybe 4 years old. Incidentally, my mother has denied ever seeing, hearing, or feeling anything after that. I guess she passed it on to me. A real wave of things started to happen when I was about 11 years old. We were living in a 3-bedroom house, and I was given my choice of the 2 smaller rooms to have as my own. One of the rooms was arranged oddly, with a sort of small hallway actually in it. You went in the door and made an immediate left to the main part of the room. There was a door across the room leading to a small space over the garage, apparently intended as a storage space. I was always uneasy in that room, and so chose the other one, which wasn't as objectionable. I wasn't happy about either one of them, but the room was turned into a sort of library spare bedroom storage area, and I stayed out of it for the most part. There was a sort of feeling that I got from one wall, almost the corner, but not quite, It was centralized in the wall, but not in the eaves. When I went into the eaves, for whatever reason, it felt as if it were coming from the same spot in the wall. That spare room was always horribly cold, even in high summer with no air conditioning. Now and then I've had friends over and they'd go with me into that room for a book. They didn't like it either. My room wasn't as bad, but much more happened in it, possibly because I was there more often. It started out as just a feeling of being watched and a few shadows, nothing specific. My mother laughed at me and said it was my imagination, and I kind of agreed with her. The place most of it came from in my room was the corner by the closet door, across the house from the spot in the spare room. I thought that it was just a childish fear of the monster in the closet, so I ignored it. Then I started getting much stronger feelings and seeing more, not just vague shadows, but outlines of things. One that kept popping up was vaguely dog-shaped. If the dog were straight from Ghostbusters, I hadn't seen the movie at that point. It had eyes that kind of, well, glowed red or green. There were many, many other things that showed up in that corner, most either human-shaped or close to it, or just kind of fuzzy. When I turned about 13, my bed started shaking. I thought that maybe it was vibrations from a truck passing outside, so I moved my bed about 4 inches away from the wall and kept a glass of water and some little glass figurines on my nightstand. My bed continued to shake, night after night, and it kept getting more violent until I thought I was going to be thrown out of it. I started getting extremely frightened when this happened because I'd look over at the water and figurines and none of them would be moving. Not even a ripple in the water, just my bed. Things started to come from that corner and hang over me, and something kept trying to pull my covers off me and push me around the bed or off it, further terrifying me. I mentioned these to my mother, but she expressed disbelief and told me to stop reading so many horror stories. My taste in books runs towards science fiction and fantasy, not horror. She did say I could move into the other room, but I elected to stay in the room I was in. It was that creepy. I got to the point of just enduring the things, sometimes sleeping on the couch downstairs or just staying awake all night and sleeping when I got home from school. About the time I was 16, a friend of mine, my boyfriend, and I were all just hanging out at my house, and the subject of ghosts came up. I mentioned the spare room. The things in my room were too extreme for belief, unless you dealt with them night after night, and we decided to go up there and play a bit with automatic writing. My friend took the pencil in her left hand, she was right-handed, and touched it to the paper. The instant she did, her arm, not just the hand, started moving jerkily and writing over and over, "Get out! Get out! Now! Get out now!" This unnerved us quite a bit, and we edged back towards the door. My friend could feel something horrid from that section of the room, and the temperature dropped several degrees. I turned my head to speak to my boyfriend and suddenly became terrified. My friend and I shot out of the room, dragging my boyfriend with us. I looked back and saw kind of, well, shape, one that felt female, streaming toward us very quickly. I could see arms of a sort and a face, distorted and screaming with hate. It looked like it wanted to kill us. My boyfriend never saw or felt anything and couldn't understand why we were so upset. That was the last time I voluntarily went into that room. I did the ironing in the hall. The next year, I went away to college, quite happy to get away from the things in that house. I came back for the summer to stay with my mother, and 2 nights after I started sleeping in my room again, the shaking and shadows started up again, sometimes with pressure on top of my covers. I moved downstairs to the couch. Until I got married and moved, I wouldn't sleep upstairs, not even when helping my mother through surgery. What has always confused me is that the house isn't that old. It was built maybe 17 years ago. The only people who had lived in it before us were first a military family and then a couple of sailors. It wasn't built in a graveyard or anything, unlike some other neighborhoods in that area, and no one has ever died there. Also, all the disturbances were on the second floor. I've had other things happen, both during that time and more recently, but I think that has to be one of the most terrifying things I've ever experienced. And I wonder if some horrible crime was ever committed against that screaming woman, and her body was dumped or buried in secret long before any houses were ever built. The room. Whatever's in my house has picked a certain room and made it its territory, and no one can sleep there. I've had several friends that I put in there to sleep who had no prior knowledge of the history of the room or the house. They've come running into my bedroom telling me they feel shaken. I myself have tried to sleep in that room. There is no way. I can't stay in that room alone more than 5 minutes max. One of the more strangest of all the events that happened was when I was remodeling my room. We were just painting and changing furniture and such when I started to notice a liquid coming out of the wall. It was a light red. My father was also there, and he is a carpenter. He was totally shocked. He had no idea what it could be. It came out faster than I could wipe it up. There were no water lines or anything in the walls there. Since I've gotten older, these occurrences have slowed down. I've been chased around the house. I'm still very upset about what happened when I was a child. Something I couldn't see chased me. All I could do was hear the footsteps and the wind and the breath. It mortified me. My parents have only experienced a few happenings in the house. The sound of an organ playing late one night, which woke everyone in the house, including my parents, who just told us to go back to bed. That it was just a radio or something. It wasn't. When someone tells me that they don't believe it, something bad happens. Things will fly across the room or the banisters will shake as it happens. My sister had a baby around 4 years ago. That's when this started slowing down. But the experiences have now moved into her house. But they only happen when the child is away for the weekend. Toys will start coming on, rocking chairs will move, or you'll be able to hear someone walking around. Another time it occurs is just when it's me and her in the house. My sister's boyfriend, who's a real skeptic, turned into a believer a few weeks after he moved into the house. It has also been dangerous, causing mass hysteria in my house, although my parents will not believe that there is something to this house. However, they both admit that they do believe in ghosts. We have given it a name. We call him Henry. But I think there is more than one ghost. We live on Indian grounds, where we still discover arrowheads and such around the area. But when I was a child, I remember rolling over, and there was a lady beside me, standing there as if kind of watching me. I rolled over trying to make it go away by ignoring it, which doesn't work. They will not let you ignore their presence. She started hovering over the top of me. Indiana's become a place of many, many ghost stories. In the place I live, there have been several murders. This year, and it's a small town, none of the murders have been solved. There isn't even a suspect. But in the place that one of the people were killed, months before we were up in that cemetery, ironically, someone was killed in a cemetery just goofing off with our friends, and I heard a voice say, "Hey!" I thought it was a game warden or something, and I was terrified because some friends of mine had alcohol. But then I looked, and it was a shadowy figure, kind of floating. I grabbed my friend and started shaking him, trying to get his attention. He had heard the voice, and he was scared. We all hopped in the car and took off as fast as we possibly could. Later on, a few months later, we took a wrong turn and ended up back on that road. There were bright blue lights and strange figures. We stopped, turned around, and got the hell out of there as fast as we possibly could. I'm not sure what to make of these experiences, but I've had so many. If I wrote them all down, it would definitely turn into a novel. I just don't know there. What is it that's made that certain room in my house its own place? And I just don't think it's Henry. Who's that knocking? When my mother was a teenager, she lived in a small town. In order to get to a friend's house, she had to drive on this country road that actually went through a creek bed. One afternoon on the way to her friend's house, they had to wait in a long line of cars for about 20 minutes to get through the creek bed. Apparently, they were clearing away an accident that had occurred, but by the time they got to the scene, it had been cleared away. On her way home that night, just as she was reaching the creek bed crossing, she heard a loud rapping on the back window of the car. It shocked her because it wasn't a rattle or any other normal car noise, but rather literally like the sound of someone pounding on the car window with her fist. She put her hand back to make sure the back window was rolled up and wasn't knocking, and it was tightly closed. There were no trees low enough to touch her car. Just as she passed actually into the creek bed, There was a repeated huge pounding on the back of her window again. In her own words, she put the pedal to the metal and got the heck out of there. The next day, she learned that a girl in her class at her high school had been in that accident they had come upon earlier the day before and had been decapitated. The man in the suit. It's been years since I've had the same encounters with spirits as I did when I was a child. I guess as we get older, we lose our willingness to believe that we're not alone. I still believe, but with more fear than I did as a child. My spiritual encounter started when I was in second grade. We had just moved to a new house. I believe that every house has a room that the spirits reside in, and my room was it. We moved to that house so that my brother and I could have our own rooms, but I couldn't sleep in that room. I told everyone it was because he was afraid, but it was me that was afraid. The first few weeks we lived in that house, I did not sleep in my room. One night, I prayed to God that I could see my father that had died when my mom was 6 months pregnant with me. That night, I woke up and saw him hovering over my bed. He didn't say anything out loud, but I knew what he was thinking. He was very proud of me and that he knew that I was going to do something very great. After that, I wouldn't sleep by myself. I knew that he wasn't bad, but there was something about that room. Our rooms were side by side, and at night, I would wake up to hear things coming from my room. All my things were in my room, and when I wanted something, I would run in and run out. As I got older, it was kind of weird to share a room with my brother, so I decided to buck it up and start sleeping in my room. I was in the fifth grade at this time. Nothing major happened until 4 years later. During those 4 years, I discovered many weird things about the room. In my room, I could hear every creak in the house, and for a relatively new house, that was very odd to have so many creaks. Things would happen like the TV would come on by itself. I would hear things that weren't creaks, etc. These things were bad at the time, but were nothing compared to what happened my ninth grade year. After I turned 15, things got really creepy. The noises began to get louder and I saw things. One night, I had a friend over. We were sitting on the bed, talking, laughing. Then we heard this sound coming from the window. It was like something was scraping the window. This is really weird because the room is on the second floor with no trees around it. Needless to say, we were scared to death. We did not want to be in there, so we went to the living room. A few weeks after that, I got the biggest scare of my life. Up to this point, I had seen ghosts and sensed ghosts, but never up close and personal. One night, I was sleeping and woke up. I turned over to look at my clock, and there was a man in my bed. He startled me, but didn't scare me. He was an older man. He had salt and pepper hair and a gray beard. He was wearing an old Confederate uniform. Not scary at all. I turned over and tried to ignore it. He finally gave up and left. After that night, I slept with the light on for a month. Then I realized I wasn't solving anything. The next day, I went into my room and tried to talk to him. I said that I didn't know what he was doing in my room, but I didn't appreciate being startled like that. It did the trick. I never saw him again, but I knew he was there. He told me many things. He warned me about my closet. I had always kept it open because there was too much stuff to close it. He said that I had to close it when I slept because the thing in the window that night lived in there and that it was not good. He was always protecting me. When I was planning something, he would warn me about the bad things that could happen. He saved me on several occasions. As I got older, he began to bother me. I never had a moment's peace without him butting in. Finally, I got so mad that I yelled at him. I told him to go away and leave me alone. Boy, did it work. I didn't see him for 4 years, and that was recently. I was talking to a friend and a talker. She was giving me a reading. After the reading, we talked about all kinds of stuff. I told her about him. She said that he was a husband of mine in another life, and that he thought that we were still married. No wonder he was mad when he left. Imagine the woman you love and cherish telling you to get lost. Well, after that, I did feel him near me once more. He said that he figured out that he was a ghost and went on to the other side. We made up with no hard feelings since then. I haven't felt anything even close to that experience. And I guess after all, it was a good ending, but I still know that there's other ghosts close by. The man with no eyes. The first ghost experience I had began when we first moved into a nice apartment in New Jersey. The apartment was small and cute, so we never suspected that it was haunted. My sister and I shared the same room there. We slept on bunk beds. She slept on the bottom, and I slept on top. I never felt too comfortable in that apartment. The hair on my arms and heads would suddenly rise, and a terrible chill would enter the room. I didn't mention it to my parents because I felt that they wouldn't believe me. It was funny, though, since both my mother and my father had had their own ghostly experiences. I remember the night well. I was sleeping in the top bunk when I suddenly felt a presence in the room with me besides my sister. I ignored it for a few minutes because I thought it was my imagination. But for no reason, I gazed from the top of the bunk to the floor. Standing in front of my sister was a small little man wearing either a white or gray suit. The man gazed up at me and I saw that he had no eyes. That freaked me out so that I ducked under the covers and prayed to Hail Mary like my mother taught me. I glanced down and noticed the man was gone. That wasn't the only time that I experienced something supernatural. I was watching television in the living room. Both my parents were present. In the living room, there are two closet doors. They are different than most closet doors because you have to turn the knob in order to open it up. While I was busy watching television, when through my side vision, I saw the knob turn and the door open up wide. When I glared at it with my normal vision, the door automatically slammed itself shut. Terrified, I phoned my mother and begged her if I could come to work with her. A few months later, my mother was sleeping on the living room couch. When she awoke to the giggling of children, she sat up on the couch and peered into the dark room. Then she felt a force knock her down and pin her shoulders to the couch. It appeared to have great control over her mind and mouth because she could not scream out any prayers. Finally, she spat a prayer out and the force released its grip. My mother still didn't learn her lesson because a few months after, she again slept in the living room. This time, she was awakened to the sound of talking. In front of her stood two beings. She wasn't afraid of them, but the third being brought her fear. It was standing away from the other two. It stood behind her. The being was a tall blonde man with evil eyes. It controlled her motion by forcing her to remain still. She said that it kept trying to come over in front of her, but the other two ghosts kept it back in its corner. As the ghost released its grip was when the other ghost came towards it and it disappeared. The last experience we had so far was when my sister saw the image of a black cat walking around the couch area and close to the TV. Its fur was standing up. The cat, she claimed, had yellow eyes. We had the house blessed, but I doubt that the ghosts are gone forever. Eventually, we moved. The Phantom Car. One night, I was driving home from my friend's house in rural Michigan. As I approached a traffic light, I saw a car in the distance approaching the same light. It was coming from my right side and appeared to be maybe half a mile to a mile away. I didn't think anything of it. I just proceeded to go through the light. As I approached the light, the car was right there, on my right side with the headlights in my eyes. All I remember was bracing myself because I thought I was going to be hit. Then, nothing. I was not hit. Nothing happened. I remembered looking back to see if the light was red, and being 1 a.m., I thought I may have made a mistake. It was green, so I was terrified I was almost hit. As I kept driving, I thought of the car again. I had my windows open and the radio was off, and I didn't hear a sound. After the light, I went through the road makes a sharp left turn. If the car had gone straight, it would have gone off the road and hit a tree. If this car was a mile off and then was right next to me, it must have been going in excess of 100 miles an hour. Yet there was no squealing of tires or even a crash. I specifically remembered listening for any sounds, yet there were none. As I looked in the rearview mirror, the car was gone, vanished. It was not in the ditch or on the road. It was just gone. I can't explain it. I should have been broadsided and maybe seriously injured. The car was so far off when I saw it, and then suddenly it was speeding into the passenger door. Finally, there is no way the driver could have turned at that high speed to make the turn. I'm starting to believe that it was some sort of apparition, but I'm not one to believe in that kind of thing. The more I think about it, the more I come to that conclusion. How could a car have done that? There is no possible way. I don't know if anyone has been killed at that intersection. I've asked my friend who has lived there for 9 years, and he says he doesn't remember any. Maybe somebody was speeding and ran off the road and died. Maybe what I saw was their car. Who knows? The ghost on the tracks. The first time I saw a ghost was when I was 16 or 17 years old. I was sitting alone in my room, and it was around 2 a.m. At that time, I was highly depressed for some reason, long forgotten. I was leaning beside my bed, actually praying, and I'm not very pious either. I felt very alone. Anyway, somewhere in the prayer, I asked for a sign to show me that someone was looking out for me. Just then, the phone rang. I nearly jumped through the ceiling. I was so startled. I hesitantly answered the phone just to hear a hiss at the other end. Later, I asked around to see if I could find a friend who may have called me. No one confessed, so? My second experience was when I was 19. This was back in 1990. The time I was delivering pizzas for Domino's in a small Wisconsin town. In the middle of the town ran a set of railroad tracks. The tracks were a pain because it cut off a good chunk of the delivery area, and we had a 30-minute time limit to get the pizza to the customer. One night, I was running behind on the delivery time. As I approached the tracks, the gate started to come down, and the warning lights began to flash. I hesitated for a second and decided to gun it. After seeing how far the gate had come down, I hit the brakes hard, with my wheels giving off a noticeable squeal. I looked down and started to play with the radio. Just then, I felt someone was looking at me. I looked up through the windshield to see a guy standing on the tracks glaring at me. He was about 6 feet tall, 180 pounds, black, dark brown hair parted down the middle. He was also wearing a satin bar-style jacket, and he looked really pissed off. I thought that they were testing the railroad tracks, and the guy was upset because I could have damaged the gate or possibly run him over. I glared back, and I thought he would go on about his business when I started to mess with my radio again. Seconds later, I looked back up to see if he was still staring at me. He wasn't. In fact, he wasn't there at all. There was nowhere he could have gone to, no building to hide behind, etc. Moments later, the train went by. Very unusual. Normally, I probably would have dismissed it as a trick of my eyes, but the one thing that I still see vividly was that look of sheer irritation on this guy's face. No doubt, it was a ghost, and I wonder what happened to him on those tracks. Encounter with the unknown. It was the winter of 1992 in Tennessee, when I had a strange encounter with something I would never have thought of. My brother and I have always slept on the third floor of the house that we lived in with our parents. Both my brother and me, we would hear noises, things that we knew couldn't be anybody else because we were alone. Our parents were gone. There was one day we heard those strange noises, and again, our parents were away and we were upstairs. And then we were startled by a loud crash, something hitting the floor. We grabbed our flashlights, then slowly but carefully descended the staircase, looking all around us for the source of the noise. We found nothing. We then moved into the kitchen and looked around, but still, nothing was there. I walked forward, then stopped because of a crunch that had sounded from beneath my feet. I backed up, looked down, and saw that it was a plate that had been dropped. I looked up at the cabinet and the door to it was open. Then after knowing that someone or something had to have done this, we then proceeded even more cautiously than ever before. We were shocked to have found nothing. My brother and I then heard a faint thumping noise, so we turned a complete 360 and headed towards the staircase. When we came to the staircase that led back to our rooms, we looked up to find a toddler bouncing a ball against the wall. The toddler didn't seem to notice our presence at first. We stared motionlessly, then he suddenly turned his head and glanced at us for no more than 10 seconds, and we ran off into the streets and waited there until our parents returned. We never saw him again, and our parents didn't believe us. But how do you explain a little toddler ghost bouncing a ball against the wall of the house? And then we ask ourselves, was he the one that broke the plate? The old owner of the house. My story is still hard for me to really believe. I guess I just keep trying to believe that it really did happen, and it happened to me. It all began back in 1989 when I moved in with my husband. It was a very old house, and the prior owner had died on the front porch. Things didn't start happening with me until about 2 weeks after I'd moved into the house. My husband was working the night shift, and I was left there at the house alone, or so I thought. The first time I noticed the strange occurrences, I was in the living room watching TV. All of a sudden, the lights turned off. I went to turn them back on, and the switch was in the off position. I flipped it back on and went back to watching TV, and a few minutes went by and the light went off again. I went to check, and sure enough, the switch was in the off position. I called my husband. He told me the house was haunted. He told me that the man that had died there was the unseen presence in the house, and on more than one occasion, doors would open by themselves. And one night, my husband and I were laying in the bed, and our bedroom door just slammed open. We knew our daughter didn't do it because she was asleep. The most frequent thing that happened almost every day was that our toilet seat in the bathroom was lifted and closed on and on. One night, my best friend stayed over and slept in the living room, and my daughter's little toy car had a button to push and listen to music. Well, the batteries were out of it, and the music in the toy car kept getting played. She never wanted to stay there again after that. We would also hear heavy footsteps in the den and in the attic. And no, they were not mice. One time my husband was walking from the porch and down the sidewalk and he saw the dead man out of the corner of his eye. And when he turned his head, the man was gone. There was one thing that drove me out of that house for 2 weeks because I was so scared. I was in the extra room and there was a box I took out of the closet and set it on the floor. And I thought that I saw it move across the floor. I still doubt things, thinking that it's all in my mind. But when other people in the house have experienced these events, it's hard to do that. We have moved out of that house, and another family moved into it, and they said that they were not experiencing anything strange. So my husband thinks the presence may have followed us, or maybe just moved on. We do hear some noises in the house we are now in, but nothing like when we were at the other place. And I hope it stays like that, and that old man didn't decide to make us part of his family.